When you hear this story from Luke, it seems as if the pieces do not fit together. But let me explain the background of our reading this morning. Verses 32 to 34 actually provides an introduction to the rest of the reading this morning. Jesus wanted to emphasize to his followers that they must be ready to await his second coming. The Greek word balantia, purse, occurs only four times in the New Testament, all of them in Luke. Matthew and Mark do not speak of a purse, since they were referring to the practice of only carrying small amounts of coins by tying it into the girdle. Luke assumes the possession of a special purse and is thus thinking in terms of a greater amount of money. It's also possible that Luke mentions the purse because it's part of the equipment of a well-to-do townsman in those days. But the point is, they must carry with them something because they must be ready to look after themselves. Because on their way, others might not care for their needs. They must be ready and be prepared. But they must also know that their treasure is not the things they carry. It's the things that is with God. And therefore Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Meaning that what is ever important to you has all your attention and care. He said this because most of his Jewish contemporaries only longed and prayed for the future redemption, being much more occupied for their daily needs and forgetting about the end time judgment of God. There were, of course, the exemptions of people who were really worried and prepared for the judgment of God, like a sect that lived at the Qumran caves. They were prepared each and every moment for the second coming of God. Like military watchmen or guards who stay prepared, Jesus' followers must always be ready for action. They must keep their lamps lit, full of oil, meaning that they must be ready even for the unexpected. They must be prepared. And then, to illustrate this, Jesus actually tells two parables. He says it's like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes back and he knocks on the door, they immediately can open the door for them. And again, I think Luke is referring to a well-to-do household of that time. Because in those households, they often had special slaves in charge of keeping the door to see who's coming in and who's going out. And actually, in those days, it was unheard of to come back in the night because of the danger of robbers and other dangers. And we do not know what he's referring to. Was this after a seven-day feast, or was the banquet maybe in the city close by? But whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, this man comes back, and the slaves are ready to receive him. And Jesus says, to those slaves, they will be rewarded. Because when this man comes back, he puts on his clothes of serving other people. And he starts serving his whole household. And that as well was unheard of in those days. A master of a house would not sit down and serve his slaves. But the point is, Jesus is referring to God himself, to him himself who will serve the people. And then he also speaks of the second and the third watch. In those days, the Jews divided their nights into three watches, who ran from 6 to 10 p.m., from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. The Romans followed another pattern by dividing their nights into four watches, namely from 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3 a.m., and 3 to 6 a.m. He says, it's also like a house owner who will be ready if he knew that the thief was coming to steal his belongings. The Greek text speaks of the word diurugthenai, that is translated with breaking in. But actually, this is about a bit out of context, because the Greek word literally means duck through. Why? Because houses in those days were usually built of mud or clay, and you could easily dig through them to gain access to the house. The point being, the man would be ready for the thief if he knew he was coming. But the background tells us how important it is for everyone to be ready, because no one knows when Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. Amen. The text verses for the sermon this morning comes from verses 33b and 34. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In biblical times, they considered the heart as the center, not only of spiritual activity, but of all the operations of human life. The heart was considered being the home of your personality, your whole personal life. And someone was judged by his heart, if he was righteous and good. The heart was seen as the seat of conscience. It is naturally wicked, and hence it contaminated the whole life and character of a person. Therefore, it was stressed in biblical times that the heart must be changed before a man can willingly obey God and all his teachings. And the process of salvation begins in the heart. So actually, Jesus is saying, your actions will be controlled by your heart. If your heart is fixed on God, your whole life, all your actions will be witnesses of this devotion, of this attitude to serve God with everything you are, you have, with everything you own. What is the state of our hearts this morning? Do we focus only on this life? Do we see this life as a constant struggle each day just to get through it? Or do we spend enough time to render, submit our hearts to God? Do we still live our lives fully devoted to God? Or did we also forget that we must be ready for God when he comes again to judge the living and the dead? I think the emphasis that Jesus wanted to lay here is the unpreparedness of this action. And we must be prepared. And to illustrate this, I want to tell you a story I read on the internet the other day. While touring Europe, a tourist visited a lovely estate in Italy. And as he admired the beautiful gardeners, he came across the gardener and he said, "You are really doing a great job. How long have you worked here?" And the gardener said, 25 years. And then the tourist said, "How often does the estate owner come here?" He said, 4 times. Then he asked him, "When was the last time he came?" The gardener said, 12 years ago. He said then, "You keep this garden so lovely. One would assume you were expecting the owner to come tomorrow." And then the gardener replied, "No, sir, today." And I think this is exactly what our attitudes must be. We must treasure our faith in God. We must spend time with Him. We must use everything in our power to make this world a better place for every human being without having hidden agendas. We must use our talents, our gifts, our abilities to help others. We must live in the sure and the certain knowledge that everything belongs to God and that this world is only a temporary dwelling place. We must be able to treasure this faith and stand firm against all the choices that wants to lure us away from God. We must resist each and every opportunity now that do not glorify God's holy name. We must be ready to travel lightly, like people who are rescued from a heavy storm. We must treasure the love of God in such a way that it inspires others. The love that God had for you and me, for sinners. We must show this love to other people without discriminating to anyone. Yes, we must be like aliens in this world, different in our actions of love, not only to a few, but to all people. We must carry the love of God like we put on our watches in the morning, or put away our purses or wallets in our pockets. We must carry the love of God everywhere we go. We must go through life with this love, and we must allow God to come to us so that we can share this love with other people. We must also treasure the hope of God's coming kingdom, and we must keep this hope alive by reading our Bibles, by regularly talking to God, and yes, to be in His company, to come to worship and experience with other people, that we are indeed privileged because we received the kingdom of heavens. We must also be able to discern what is really important in life. And we must leave behind the unimportant bits and pieces. We must not think of treasures like money and wealth and all the things our world offers us on a daily basis. Because when you get sick, this cannot help you. When you are in a situation where no one can help you, it's only God then. That's the treasure we must focus on. Because His treasures is all around us, even in the unexpected times and places. If we are prepared, we will see and recognize these treasures out of the hand of God. And this thing will help us to take away our eyes from all that glitters and is gold. And yes, find the stuff of God even in the dust of this world. You and I must be travelers, light travelers, with only God with us. Yes, you and I must go through life and see it as opportunity to take as many people with us as we journey through. And then once we come into the kingdom, we can indeed say, what a happy day. But even more so, if the Lord comes again to judge the living and the dead, we will then be able to meet Him with joy, gladness, and cheerfulness. Yes, then you and I will be like the gardener in Italy, who did not say tomorrow, but today. I don't think the people in Scotland really understand the image of a thief that comes at night. But me and my family that lived in South Africa, we lived with the daily reality that now can be our end. It's a constant thing that lived with us. Each and every day that I climbed in my car, I knew maybe this will be my last. You greet people as if you will see them never ever again. That's the meaning of this passage. We must be able to leave this world now for God's sake. You and I must be ready, because no one knows when the Lord will indeed come to judge us. May we be ready today.